This is a very spoiler-heavy review of this movie, but, like, watch it first and then talk to us.
I love this song. I loved this scene in the movie. I loved everything that they did.
The theme was prom fabulous. This is prom fabulous.
Like, even though it was not prom fabulous, Jamie was not. Can we just say how stunning he is in drag makeup?
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Out of the darkness. Ooh.
Hi everyone, welcome back to After Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater from the comfort of my car. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, we're talking all about Everybody's Talking About Jamie, the movie. Everybody's talking about Jamie. Guys, it is our movie musical season. Welcome to the next, like, four episodes of back-to-back-to-back movie musicals. Can't believe we're here.
September was a time. It's a time. There's so much that we're not even talking about on the podcast that's been coming out. So it's, like, an exciting season.
Two Amazon originals. We've seen both of them now because you also just recently saw
I did watch Cinderella.
The latest Cinderella. One Apple TV Plus with Come From Away. Then we have Dear Evan Hansen, which is our next episode that's coming out in theaters. And then, I mean, it's not like movie musical, but we're putting it in the movie musical category because Diana is coming to Netflix. So we are like spread across all of the streaming platforms right now.
Yes, every streaming platform is trying to get in on it.
Yes.
To varying degrees of success.
And today we are talking about Jamie, and everybody's talking about Jamie. This was a movie that you were super excited for. I feel like in the realm of all of the movie musicals, this was like number one on your list.
100%. When I saw the trailer for this, out of every single movie musical, one still to come even, this was the trailer that got me excited, got me hyped. Let's actually bring out a prop. I have a prop for today's episode. Here is my...
When I was in
London 3.5 years ago,
crazy,
2018 May, we saw Hamilton. I saw Hamilton. I saw Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and I pre-went to London with those tickets. And then the last night we were in London, the day before Harry and Meghan got married, I went to the TKTS booth. Is that what it's called there? I never remember.
Like, we went, I don't know, but it's, yes.
We went to the discount ticket booth.
Yeah.
And I had seen just like a clip from this musical on an Instagram account maybe a month or two before. And I was like, let's see if it'll be easy to get tickets to. And it was very easy to get tickets to. We sat, as they call it there, in the stalls, me and my mother. And we got to see Everybody's Talking About Jamie. I knew literally absolutely nothing about this show. And I wanted to see something like quintessentially British, something that, you know, you can't get anywhere else. And I was like very happy with my choice. It was such a fun night, like a really, really fun night. Was it the greatest musical I've ever seen? Absolutely not. But it did bring me joy in that evening. And like that counts for a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I'll talk about my like introduction to the show a bit later, but I think like in terms of the movie itself, we just watched this like literally last night. This is a very quick turnaround episode. so we watched it last night. We're recording it today. It's being released on Monday. So we have like thought for 24 hours about our thoughts. It came out early on Amazon. I literally like walked out of the shower, turned on my TV and was like, Steph, what are you doing right now? Let's watch Everybody's Talking About Jamie. And obviously we did.
Yeah.
Once again, shout out to Scener for like being that app for us.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are your overall thoughts of this movie?
Of this movie? I thought this movie was good. It took a good musical, not a great musical, a good musical, and adapted it as I think well as possible that you could adapt it and made a good movie.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I think it's good. I don't think it's great. I think it's a decent movie. I think the storyline is very good, very heartwarming. There's like lots of good aspects to it, which we'll get into when we discuss a bit more about the movie. But yeah, for anyone that's listening to us like on a weekly basis, we did record our Dear Evan Hansen episode first. So to like kind of compare those two movies, this in my mind is a better movie than that one. And obviously like unlike you, well, I mean, like you, but also unlike you, I have more of a pre-existing relationship to Dear Evan Hansen than obviously you do to Jamie. So it's interesting to just like compare it that way. But yeah, I think it's a fine movie and I would recommend it to anybody. It's like kind of really for all ages and it's enjoyable at the end of the day. So yeah, I guess like to go into a bit of like more of your relationship with this show, what did you think of the show when you first saw it in London?
It's so interesting. We were in the theater and we just had these like kind of crazy intense theatrical experiences earlier that week with shows. It was a crazy, crazy trip. So then you walk into this musical that you have like no warning you're watching, and it just is a very different experience to be super prepared to watch something and like literally fly across an ocean to watch something versus just like buying tickets an hour before and walking into a theater. But I just remember it was so much fun. I remember getting out of it and being like, that was fun. And then I went back to the hotel room. My dad didn't come with us, but he was there like waiting in the hotel room for us. And he's like, whoa, how was it? And we were like, it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
Like we weren't effusive about it. And then, but like nothing bad to say. It was just like, it was fun. And then over like, probably a year maybe, my opinion of it kind of went down in like the memory of it. And then we went and saw the filmed version of it because there is a professionally filmed version that they put in theaters. We saw it in theaters. When mm-hmm. I saw it, I was like, this was better than I remembered. This is even better.
Mm-hmm. So
like I'd forgotten that it was that good. Like I hadn't remembered it as being as good as it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah. How long was that? I guess like 2.5 years ago now that we saw that, or three?
That's a great question.
I have like no recollection. I know what we did that day because that was like me, you, Shara's like big day downtown.
We went into an escape room after. We went to Pickle Barrel and we went to an escape room after.
Sounds like a classic like Saturday night. Wow, missed that, honestly.
Yeah.
But I just remember like we went obviously off of your recommendation. It was one of mm-hmm. those things that like Cineplex only brings certain movies to the theater for like a couple weekends, and if you see it, you see it. If you don't, you don't. So I'm super happy that we went to see it. I thought it was like such a fun show. Again, such a great storyline. I will never forget. We walked in like late because it was starting, so we had to sit like very close to the bottom. It was packed. That theater was like
yeah.
full of people, which was surprising to me because I didn't think anybody knew
yeah, you're
what
like,
this
who's,
show was.
Who's seeing
because,
this?
Like, we only went off of your recommendation. I don't think I would have mm-hmm. gone on my own just seeing the name pop up. But, like, the BTS movie was playing next door, and this was, like, at a time when I didn't know who BTS was.
I think it was playing in our theater right after, so the line was forming
and people
outside.
Were, like, screaming. And you would think that BTS was there, but they obviously were not, so...
They were not at the Cineplex at Dundas Square in Toronto.
No. But yeah, that's, like, a memory that I just have attached to Jamie, is the screaming people outside for BTS. And at that point, it was like, what's this behind-the-scenes movie that's coming up?
We were so innocent then. We were so innocent.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think like there are, I do think that the cast recording is quite good. There are like
yes.
very good songs, and I think there are very good scenes to the songs in the movie. But overall, just like a good show. And it's so funny because I feel like a lot of times when we talk about shows or movies or whatever, we're like expecting the best of the best. But like, it's okay for a show to like just be good and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like amazing, but I would have no qualms recommending this to any, like that, seeing it on stage, I have no problem recommending it to anybody. I would go see it again. It was a party. I also was very lucky. When I saw it on the West End, I saw John McCrae starring as Jamie, and like, he is a star. He was a star as Jamie. Loved
yeah.
him. He just elevated every piece of material on that stage and just cracked me up for the whole 2+ hours.
Right. Okay, so let's get into a bit of the movie. So Jamie New is played by Max Harwood, who Don't know his age, but again, as I said, our Dear Evan Hansen episode is coming out in the next episode. And if you want to hear a bit about like age inappropriateness, go listen to that. This whole movie felt like super age appropriate, especially towards the end when there was like the big sing dance scene for the song Everybody's Talking About Jamie. Like we were saying, like those kids were like 12 years old. Some of them
were. So this musical also just has a very youthful energy. Like, they, it I mean, just felt young.
And a perfect example, like, one of the lyrics is old like 32. Like, that yes. is the lyric that's in there to say that 32 is old. When, yes, exactly.
So funny.
Jamie, I guess, like, I mean, Steph, do you want to give, like, a mini synopsis of this plot?
Yes, I can. Okay, so Jamie knew it's his 16th birthday as we start this musical. And what he wants for his birthday is a pair of high heels, and his mother gets them for him. He has always been different from everyone. He is gay. He is out. Everyone in school knows it. And he is, he gets these high heels, but he's nervous to wear them in public. And he shows them to his best friend, and she's like, you're going to wear these to prom, and you are going to wear a dress to prom, because that's what, like, what you want to do. So then he's like, I want to be a drag queen. I want to be a performer. And so this musical is kind of his journey in discovering himself and discovering what it means to perform, be a drag performer, and also what it means to be himself. And with people struggling with their own judgments and preconceived notions, including like bullies at school, his father, I don't know, other people, and kind of fighting against that so he can become himself. Did that make sense? I feel like I went in a lot of directions there.
We got the gist. We got the gist. The movie starts off the exact same way as the musical with everybody in the class. It's like careers day,
yes.
maybe?
They're taking it's their last quiz. Careers class. It's
yes.
their last
also, careers class. Also, something that we learned last night is that year 11 is actually year 12 in like North America,
I guess, their final schooling. Year 11 is like your final year of high school. Someone correct us if we're absolutely wrong, but based on Googling, year 11 is the final year of high school, and then you can do year 12, but that's more for people who are going on to post-secondary education or like university. It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Whereas like in Canada, we go up to grade 12 and you graduate, everyone graduates at grade 12.
Exactly. So they're doing this like careers day. We find out that his best friend Pretty wants to be a doctor, and like everybody else is like talking about whatever the careers. Obviously, the twins.
The Sharp Twins, our favorite performers, the Sharp Twins, want to be YouTubers.
Classic. That's great. I feel like that wasn't in the musical, so that's really elevated for
2021. I actually think
movie.
It was. I think it was in the musical. I don't
just
remember exactly,
twins.
But I don't know if it was twins. I don't know if it was twins. But I think they asked someone and they said YouTuber.
Honestly, like my mom is a teacher and asking kids what they want to be, influencers, YouTubers,
sure.
Twitch gamers, that is like the world we live
well,
in now.
When we were kids, what did you want to be? Movie star? Like it's the same thing, you know?
Singer,
you reach for the top and then as you get older, you're like realistic, maybe.
But I guess like in my mind that the top is YouTube like feels crazy to me. But you know what?
Well, what do you think
they're
we're
killing
doing
it.
Right here? What do you think
it's
we're
true.
Doing right here?
Subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe.
Yeah, rate, review, leave us a little comment.
Exactly. So I don't think we actually get to hear what Jamie's career is in the movie, but in the musical it's like a truck driver of
basically
some
like forklift
sorts.
Operator. Forklift.
Yes, that is it. And then we get into him singing Don't Even Know It. I love this song. I loved this scene in the movie. I loved everything that they did with the like desks like being turned in and turned out and the choreography and all of the students like really dancing into it. My favorite moment was like Jamie's biggest like fantasy of him like walking on a runway with a great smoky eye and a blue blazer. Like I loved that scene.
Set the tone for the whole movie. It said, you know, as soon as we started singing, the desk started lighting up. There's a giant sign like lighting up saying the Jamie show. You know, you're being let in that this is a fantasy sequence, that this is not actually happening. This is in people's minds. It's a fun moment. And I love this as a tone setter. My one qualm, maybe, is that I kind of wish they'd saved, like, going into the club for when he really went into the club. You know what I mean? I kind of wish we'd kept it more into the school before, like, crossing the barrier of, like, entering the drag world.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also kind of missed the rap aspect of the song that's in the musical.
Introducing Miss Hedge. Yeah. Introducing Miss Hedge.
But the song is so... I actually think that, like, might be the best song in the entire show. It's just,
opens,
like,
and closes really strong. Like, yes, that beginning, that end.
But yeah, I just think it's a really good way and a really, like, strong way to, like, hype you up at the beginning of a movie. And as you said, like, set the tone. And I totally agree. Jamie's entire... Well, I guess the entire movie was, like, when they went from scene to song, you knew you were sort of, like, entering a fantasy dream sequence anytime that Jamie was about to sing, which was really interesting to do it that way.
Yeah, I agree. On stage, you know, they had similar things, like, where the desks would light up and there'd be, like, projections on the back, but they did kind of keep it a very simple staging. In person, which I really liked. Even we'll get to a number later, Spotlight, that's super simply staged on stage. And then the way that they did it in the movie is a much bigger production number. And it's very interesting to see that contrast.
Another song that I loved, it's actually like, we're kind of just like going in order here, Jamie, after school, goes home and meets his mom and her best friend, Ray. Shabna Gulati plays Ray, who reprises her role from the musical. And I didn't remember her face, but I remembered her speaking voice. I was like, I've heard this woman before. And then we looked it up and obviously it was her. And they have like a cake and everything for Jamie. And then he gets... the heels. That's the present that he gets. And then we also like sort of start to hear slowly about the backstory of his dad and how he's not showing up to his birthday party. His dad does not support Jamie being gay, like, at all. He wanted a son, and he says, I got you, which is terrible, obviously. But his mom, like, tries to hide that part of their relationship, so she writes a card from the dad, and she gives him a present from the dad, even though he's, like, not in the picture at all. But when he gets the heels, he sings Wall in My Head, and again, this was a great, like, enter into Jamie's fantasy dream sequence, but I also feel played very true to how it was done on stage. I feel like he walked across a wall in the musical as well.
Yes, it was very much just him kind of singing on this brick wall. There's that visual that's in the musical on stage of him kind of walking on the wall between the houses in the heels, like treating it as a catwalk, and he's like a little baby deer learning to walk. And they did that in the movie, and it was in the musical as well. And then at the end of the movie, where they had the clip of the real Jamie doing that as well. And like, I don't know, that like that image, so it just captures like so much about the whole story. It was gorgeous.
It is interesting because there is a documentary about the real Jamie. I have not seen the whole thing. I've seen like bits and pieces on YouTube, but there was like a sense of source material for this, which is kind of interesting to like take those home movies and put it into a musical and then adapt it for a movie. And obviously the director was the same for the musical and the movie. This is directed by Jonathan Butterall. And I think it's like an interesting choice to do that, because why not have the person that had a successful stage show like adapt this movie for film?
It seems like this story was his baby, and he was like so committed. It was so important to him to tell the story in as many ways possible and have it conveyed. There was a little line that they said at the beginning of the movie. It said, this story really happened, then we added the singing and dancing. So you never lose sight that there was like an actual boy that this happened to. Even if elements were fictionalized, like I don't think they went and wrote down, okay, exactly what did you say here and what happened here?
Right.
What did you wear here? But they took the emotions and the kind of broad strokes of the story and created this like really sweet, beautiful story out of it. And he shepherded it from that documentary to the stage production to the movie. And I think we can credit a lot of it to his like passion for the project.
Yeah, I agree. And then we move on to Spotlight, which you said was like a great moment in the film. I guess like to relate, it kind of felt to me like a beauty school dropout kind of moment from Grease. The way that the women that were like the cleaners, they were like at school, sweeping, like the cafeteria ladies, like ended up putting on these like glamorous dresses and their mops became microphones. Like it was just, it was very like magical, whimsical. And then there were like disco balls everywhere. And I just feel like we have to talk about now, because she was obviously a big part of this song, but Pretty, played by Lauren Patel, like the most pure character maybe ever written for a musical. She is so sweet, like so loving, and just like doesn't care about any, like about anything. She's happy to just be friends with Jamie to be friends with Jamie at the end of the day, which is amazing to see that on stage and on screen.
Yeah, they're very different people and yet they are best friends and they get along so well. I also love seeing it on stage, you know, a character wearing a hijab and that being very much a part of her character, briefly commented on but not really made a plot point. This is just a diverse school. The casting of the school kids, like, very diverse and not really commented on. It's just a realistic representation of Sheffield, England.
Also, the accents are amazing.
The accents are great. The accents are so good.
But yeah, I thought that moment, like, again, another, like, standout, really great moment. And then we start to learn like more about Jamie's character, and he researches this like drag shop, and we end up at Loco Chanel's drag shop. And Loco Chanel, also known as Hugo, played by the one and only Richard E. Grant. Now, I obviously know him as the most iconic character from Spice World. So anytime I see him, I just like think of him as that character.
I don't even know what I know him from. He's just Richard E. Grant.
I know. We were saying yesterday, like, can we find a part for him in Mamma Mia 3? Because I think we need to.
I think so. I think we must. I think he would be perfect for that. He did, like, the awards season recently for, what was that movie called? Can You Ever Forgive Me? With Melissa McCarthy. And he was kind of her best friend in that. And I think that was my first introduction to him. So,
and he was in, like, every single Instagram picture possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was, like, living his best life that award season, for sure. This is actually the first song that was changed. So in the musical, it's called The Legend of Loco Chanel, and we get kind of his backstory that way. We reenact his backstory. Whereas in the movie, we get a song called This Was Me, and we as he's singing it, we're watching home videos of Loco Chanel as a drag queen in the late 80s, into early 90s. There's timestamps in the corner. And I think it kind of really deepens Loco Chanel's story and Hugo's story in showing this brief moment of what it was like to be a drag queen, be a gay man in the late 80s, early 90s, as the AIDS crisis was happening. It was, I thought that was a really interesting addition to like deepen this character. We were heroes in our heat. This was me. We were children in the night. Every star burned twice as bright. We were tough and could fight. We held the line. This was me. And also young Loco Chanel, played by John McRae. Yeah, this was the best cameo ever. I didn't recognize him until at the end because he's in drag makeup the whole time.
Can we just say how stunning he is in drag makeup?
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Stunning.
I thought it was such a sweet way to acknowledge the person who created Jamie and made this role and who the show owes so much debt to without being too much or without, like, overwhelming or distracting from the film. I thought it was just like a wonderful way to have him cameo and acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm. Also in this scene, obviously, like, he's in Loco Chanel's shop, which sells like dresses and wigs and shoes and like everything to get you ready for a drag performance. And the poster on the back of the wall calls the queens warrior queens. So that sort of like also became like a bit of a theme to like be a warrior when you're in drag. So like no one can really tear you down. I also thought that was like a nice sweet moment to help this kid who was kind of struggling to know, like, he knew that he wanted to perform, but he didn't think that he could do it. So like having someone like Loco Chanel or Hugo in his corner to help guide him through was nice. I think for me, what I missed, which is so funny because I was again like reading the Broadway World boards today, was like a bit more of the other drag queens on stage. But some people seem to like this storyline better and didn't really care for those songs and just have like a nice one-on-one connection with Loco Chanel and Jamie.
I have to say, I definitely am someone who did not love the song The Legend of Loco Chanel. I thought it was a bit of a drag in the stage version. But I agree that I wanted to see more of the kind of like drag performers that we get to meet later in the movie.
Yeah, that was the only thing that I think was lacking in terms of like the drag queen. I think the drag queens were lacking in this movie.
Yeah, maybe you wanted to like spend more time in the drag world because that's so much of like Jamie's becoming immersed in it, and like we also want to become immersed in it.
And I also think like that might be selfishly wanting to do that because like I'm interested and want to learn more about it as well, just to like understand and hear like why it's so important to people and like how they become new characters. I can relate this very loosely to Kinky Boots, and we spend so much time with the drag queens during Kinky Boots, and I love that because you really get to see like personalities shine. So I did miss like a bit of like personality, I guess, in this movie.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, then after that, like so Jamie sort of like goes on this journey of like wanting to find his inner drag queen, and
let's talk about the cut song here for a sec. Actually,
yeah,
they cut the song If I Met Myself Again that Jamie's mother sings. Jamie's mother's part was like cut down a little bit, I felt, but they cut the song If I Met Myself Again. I think this was a fine decision.
On stage, I don't remember how it goes at all, like I couldn't tell
it's
you.
Fine. On stage, she sings it while two of the dancers do like a contemporary duet behind her. And I always thought that was super cringe, and they should have not done that. It just felt very, like, theater school amateur production in that moment. And I'm very happy they cut that song, because it's fine. It's boring. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I have nothing to say on that, so we'll just continue on the plot line. So Jamie is, like, deciding that he wants to perform. I think it's at this moment that Hugo tells him that, like, or he sees the poster on the wall of the, I don't even remember what it's called, Legs something show.
Legs 11.
Legs 11, yeah. And Jamie does not have a drag name, has to have a drag name for this show, but, like, goes through, like, I have to buy a dress, I have to whatever. So he ends up working, like, extra shifts at his mom's store? It's a store, right?
Yes. The store where his mother works, and also where Ray works.
Right. That was a cute scene of him at the store where his mom works with a new, like, a... It's not like a new song to the musical, but like a song in the movie, Work Girl by Todrick. We love to see that. And he's like stocking the shelves wearing headphones, but wearing the like sparkly red shoes. Very cute.
You gotta practice walking. Gotta practice.
Yes, exactly. And then we head back to the school and we find Jamie in the bathroom for what is one of your favorite scenes in the movie and musical.
This is so funny on stage when you get the reveal of him with the eyebrows. This is a very spoiler-heavy review of this movie, but, like, watch it first and then talk to us. when you get the reveal of him with the eyebrows and Pretty's like, what happened? And he's like, I was the victim of a drive-by clowning. Like, it's so funny. John McCrae, just his physicality on stage, just the way he moved with it in every moment, but especially specifically the scene where he's like trying to climb out the window and he's like, what are you doing up there? He's like, parkour, free running.
Yeah. It's very funny.
Like, it's so funny. Going into the song Work of Art, which Miss Hedge, part of Pretty's cover story, she said that the eyebrows she put on Jamie as part of an art piece for art class. And Miss Hedge says, well, if it's an art piece, you have to walk through all the hallways with these eyebrows in front of everyone. And
this is so that's mean.
Miss Hedge is horrible. So, she's so mean. That's another thing. This movie, this story, has very clear villains. We've got the dad, we've got Dean, and we've got Miss Hedge.
We haven't even talked about Dean.
Oh my god, Dean. It has like three very clear villains, and they're all kind of in different, you know, ways of villainy, but it's very clear they are not willing to accept Jamie for who he is, and they think that there is something wrong with just him being authentically himself. And I I like that there's like a, you know, next week you're going to hear us talk about Dear Evan Hansen, where kind of the villainy, if they're even, if you can even call it a villain, is very murky, very gray. This one, it's just like Jamie's right, everyone else is wrong.
And Pretty. It's, Jamie and Pretty. And
Pretty is right, his mother, and Ray, amazing. Right. Love them. Hugo, great. But we have very clear villains in this story.
Yeah.
And it's just fun to like watch them be villains and then watch them get their comeuppance at the end.
Yeah. So this is like kind of Miss Hedges' villain song to Jamie. You're a perfect work of art. Like Picasso, so Picasso, I just don't know where to start. Work of art. Work of art.
A teacher should never do this. A teacher should never try to embarrass a student this way.
No, exactly. But what was so interesting was right after we watched the movie, we actually saw the clip from the filmed version. This was like an exact replica from
the dancing,
stage to screen.
The dancing.
Photographs. Like yeah, mm-hmm. It was great. And then this song goes into Over the Top, right?
A little bit. Like there's this song, there's a little scene, and then this song finishes out, which... it was a part I loved. It was kind of very music video. Jamie is, it's in like black and white, and there's like two videos that they're cutting between with Jamie in a white suit and Jamie in a black suit. And they like doing the exact same dance, but cutting between the two dances. Like loved how they filmed that part. Loved that
all
part.
All still with the crazy brows.
Like, yes, of course. The brows like truly crack me up. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. So funny. I mean, I've been there, done that, you know?
Maybe not that high, but...
like, filling your brows, it's rough. It's rough out there.
But it is interesting because, like, as I said at the beginning of this episode with, like, the dream sequence, like, fantasy moments, you always know when it's happening with Jamie. But mm-hmm. I found that, like, in these dream sequence fantasies, he's also singing, like, direct to camera, which is so interesting. Because I don't know that many movie musicals have, like, a direct to camera singing.
Right, like I think it shows that now we're in his inner monologue versus like being in a realistic, you know, moment between the characters. I like the like differentiation between those moments.
The eyeline switches, which is super interesting, and I like it for this, but I don't think I would like it for something else. I don't think it would make as much sense.
No, absolutely not. It kind of reminded me in that way a little bit of something like Spring Awakening on stage, where the scenes are very like realistic. Mm-hmm. They're looking at each other, like very muted. But when they start singing, they pull the microphone out and they're looking directly at the audience, because it's to signify the difference between, okay, this is like really happening, and this is my inner monologue. This is my... this is, no one else is hearing this. You as an audience are getting to hear this.
Yeah.
No one else is getting to hear it. So I like that.
And then we end up at Jamie's drag show, where he's like freaking out because, again, still does not have a drag name. And this is where this is really the only scene that we get to meet the other drag queens that are at the show. Hugo, this time in full drag, getting ready. And I loved this scene of all of the queens like helping him put his makeup on, putting the wig on, putting the dress on. He looked amazing. And then we find out, which I think this is a super dumb drag name. His name is Me. But it's so interesting because like he totally becomes a different person as soon as that name gets put out there. And he sings a song that I don't even know what it was, but we watched it with closed captioning and it said it was Beverly Knight. So there you go.
We love that.
Yeah. But he like became a different person, and it was great to see that, because on the stage show when he gets into drag, we finish with him like being introduced and then cut to intermission, so you don't actually get to see like a lip sync for your life.
You don't even get to see his face.
I think that's because like there's no time in the stage show to get the makeup on correctly.
No, sure. The whole song is like, you know, you're seeing him get his makeup on like from behind. You're seeing the back of his head and they're putting everything on, and then he gets announced me, and you see his back, and then kind of the curtain opens like you're behind the curtain with Jamie, and you like, I don't know if it's a projection, I don't remember, like the curtain opens and you see him like ready to go on, and then it's like fade to black, intermission right there. And I like the choice of not getting to see the drag show, imagining the drag show. But in the movie, like I don't think you could get away with that.
No, I agree. And I was also saying that like they probably didn't I mean, as much as they could not do his, like, makeup in time for that, they also probably didn't want to license a song for him to lip sync every single night.
Sure. For a movie, you have to write one, and then it would feel weird.
Yeah,
totally. Something else, something that struck me very much on stage, not as much in the movie, but when he's backstage with the three drag queens, that, like, felt, and I don't know if this was intentional or if this is just me being crazy, but felt very much like a Gypsy reference, like, when Louise is backstage with the three, like, burlesque stripper performers and they sing Gotta Get a Gimmick. I was like, these are these three. We spent a lot more time with them on stage than we do in this movie, and I was like, very much a very similar dynamic if mm-hmm. like Jamie is Louise going backstage to, I don't know, meet these like three people who have experience, who are older, and they're like teaching them their ways.
There's
like
also,
is that intentional? Unknown.
Yeah, there's also something about, like, a backstage getting ready vignette that I love. I love to see, like, bonding backstage. I think of, like, A Star Is Born when, like, Lady Gaga's, like, getting ready backstage. And I also think, because you literally just said burlesque, I was like, wow, Steph, should we do burlesque? Because you have not seen that movie.
I've never seen burlesque. People have been telling me I should watch burlesque. Look, you haven't seen The Last of Me yet. There's something very intimate about watching someone get ready. Like, watching someone go from, like bare face, like, regular person to have their, like, war paint on and well, like ready to perform.
Yeah. And again,
and I think
almost,
it's like a vulnerable moment to like mm-hmm. meet characters in.
Some of, I'm sure the deepest, best conversations happen in those rooms. And like to be a fly on the wall while watching this movie is just kind of interesting.
I mean, let's talk about us, people like letting you in. We hop on probably like half hour, 45 minutes before we start recording and we do our makeup together, just like chatting before we yeah. like warming ourselves up.
The same thing.
it is kind of like we're backstage, like getting our makeup on to be cute for people to listen to our voices only. And it's just like getting that element of it. It's a very similar thing, I think.
Yeah, totally. And then, yeah, so we get him singing and obviously his mom is at the show, which is, and Ray is there. There's a couple girls
dad.
From his school. His dad sends flowers in quotations. His mom actually sent the flowers from his dad, but also like Dean and the boys are there and they yes. yell out freak show and Dean rightfully so gets escorted out of yeah. the theater. But the best moment is when Pretty shows up and is just like beaming in the background.
Yes.
So happy for her friend and I loved it.
That's a bestie you need.
Yes, amazing. And then we get the title song of the show, which is Everybody's Talking About Jamie, which you actually, I don't know if you had it in your like top five, but I think it was an honorable mention for sure of our title
song. I talked
episode.
About it because I think it's a tough title for a musical, Everybody's Talking About Jamie.
It's
I
long.
Think it's very long. It doesn't like quite explain what we are about to watch. I don't know if it's a great title for a musical. Mm-hmm. I do think, you know, you run into the issues with, like, The Prom kind of was around the same time being developed. There's also the Canadian musical called, it was at one point called Prom Queen, and now it's called Louder We Get. So these are all somewhat similar-ish stories being told around the same time with titles that are overlapping in some ways. So try to differentiate. Yeah, I think they could have gone with a different title and a different title song, but I don't know what it would be, but
I like the song
feedback.
Though I think it's fun.
The song's good. The song is fun.
Yeah, it's like basically I think I'll relate it to like Telephone Hour, Bye Bye Birdie.
Sure.
It's
word
like,
is spreading about what Jamie did the night before.
Yes. And I love the part of the song and the scene when like Jamie walks in with the sunglasses and like the
yes.
scarf around his head and is like, ugh, I'm here. You guys are talking about me, right? Like obviously
yeah,
you're talking about me.
He's just like fluttering his eyelashes. It's so funny. This was the moment where I was like, this movie feels so youthful. It has such good energy.
Yeah.
This like story just the way that they're a very like stick to the status quo style, like around the tables, the gossip is spreading around the playground. Like it feels youthful. It feels young.
This was also the moment when the 12-year-olds appeared. Like they were
yes,
there.
straight up children.
Yeah. And Jamie also has like a newfound sense of confidence. He comes to school like in lashes, great lashes, like hot pink ones, like lipstick. But he also like mouths off to Miss Hedge. He gets in a fight with Dean. And then this is the moment, which is kind of, I feel like, the downfall for Jamie's character, where he loses all confidence in the moment, is where he's told that he cannot wear a dress to prom. And I think just because, like, we recently saw the prom movie, obviously we've both seen the prom on stage, but it's, like, kind of the same moment when Emma is told that she can't bring a girl to prom. And yeah. I do get, like, it is interesting that, like, these shows kind of came out at the same time with a, like, kind of similar storyline, loosely, obviously, but, like, the mm-hmm. underlying theme is still there. So, yeah, it's, like, kind of heartbreaking moment, and I have to say, like, his mother, I feel like, is maybe the most supportive character ever written for a kid in a musical. It's a really well-written part, and unfortunately, I don't think enough people that need to see this movie will see this movie to, like, understand that there are people like Jamie's mom and Pretty out there to support mm-hmm. people like Jamie.
Yeah, it's, you know, comparing it to the
and
prom.
And Ray.
Ray's the best. We love Ray. Comparing it to the prom, it's like the people who are most upset about, you know, Emma trying to bring a girl to prom or Jamie to wear a dress to prom are the adults. You know, the kids barely care. You know what I mean? Like,
they, except for Dean, but Dean we hate cares, Dean.
But you know, Dean is struggling, okay? Dean is struggling. Like, you know, it's always the adults trying to put these restrictions on these kids, trying to be in the best interest of the other kids. You know, it's not just about you. And it's like, well, it's not just about me, but it is partially about me. I also, like, Emma also goes to that school and Jamie also goes to that school. And why are they being asked to sacrifice their authenticity, who they are, for these other kids?
Yeah.
They're expected to just stick to the status quo and bend into the background, even though that's not them. They just want to be themselves. And it always does seem like the adults putting it down on them and the kids who they're so worried about protecting seem kind of fine with it.
Yeah, it's an interesting line from Miss Hedge specifically in this scene. It's also like always that one teacher. Like the principal really did not care. It was really Miss Hedge that was like causing the issues. But an interesting line from her was like, Jamie, you're so lucky. And I wanted to be like, lucky in what sense? Like, yes, he's obviously got a supportive mom and a supportive, like, best friend who acts as his dad, basically, as he says, like, she has more balls than his dad ever had. But I don't agree that, like, Jamie lived a lucky, like, life because he had a supportive mom. Like, he's obviously gone through struggles. Does Miss Hedge know that his dad, like, does not approve of who he is at all? Like, I thought it was a weird line. I don't know if it was in the musical, but it's also like, again, maybe like fully separates that hero versus villain and like further pushes her into the villain category.
Yeah, it's like, we love Jamie's mom. Jamie's mom is the best, a supportive queen, but you know, being supportive of your children is kind of the bare minimum. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes, it's you, like, should be.
that's literally your job. It is literally your job to be your child's advocate. And his mom is just his advocate in every corner and is always there for him. And he's like, and Miss Hedge is like, you're so lucky for having this. And it's like, no, everyone should have a mom like this who will fight for you.
Yeah. Miss Hedge clearly does not have children. She is not a mother. Like, she is again, as you said, she is like looking out for the other kids, but like, who's looking out for the Jamies and the Emmas at school?
And
seems
and
like
and
no one.
She's looking out for them in a misguided way, like just trying to shelter them from something that is absolutely completely normal.
So he goes over to Pretty's house and they sing It Means Beautiful. Pretty says that if Jamie was Pakistani or Middle Eastern, that his name would be Jamil, and Jamil means beautiful. So then she sings this entire song. I think that this song is so beautiful. Again, Pretty, best character, like, love her. I also think that Lauren Patel has like a really pretty voice. She sounded so youthful and so just like age appropriate, which I loved. This scene also felt very reminiscent of On Stage with like her little globe lamp, like spinning
with like the constellations like being projected around.
Yeah. And just like watching him, he basically just like lies on her bed with his like hands on his head on his hands. She just sings him this song and it's like, wow, friendship. And like the love that she has for him, the love that he has for her. And yeah, like the support. That's the thing too, of, as you said, like the parent is supposed to offer the support, but the way that she supports him is like astronomical. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing to see a friend being portrayed like that. And they're two, like, again, as you said, from like totally different worlds. So it's really nice to bring them together.
Yeah, it's lovely. This is where we get into, we were talking, a little bit of a lull in the movie, because we have three songs back to back here. It Means Beautiful, He's My Boy, My Man, Your Boy, which are all like slow emotional songs. And it's kind of the emotional climax because you see Jamie running away, going to see his father, finding out that his father had never sent him birthday cards, didn't send him the flowers to the drag show, that his mom's been trying to protect him. So he's angry at his mother, he's angry at his father. And who punches him in the face? A random guy? I don't remember.
Yeah, he like goes to the soccer match wearing a dress and he gets pushed into like a barbed fence by some rando.
He like picks a fight. He picks a fight there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is kind of the emotional climax of the story. So with that, we kind of lose the energy in the music. Mm-hmm. These are all fine songs on their own, but I think they kind of need to be bookended by something more high energy.
Yeah, the only, I would say, like, maybe saving grace in there is that Jamie Hugo scene where he tells him what his dad said, how he, like, doesn't think that he is his son and will not support him. And he just basically says, like, who cares? Like, you don't need him.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a nice moment between the two. But I definitely agree. This, I think they could have lost like a good 15 minutes here of all three of those songs to just like speed up the pace, because from the high energy opening number all the way to like the drag show, it was really like hit after hit after hit. And then we kind of just like,
there's a song that was cut. There was a song that was cut kind of in the midst of theirs. I believe Jamie sings it. It's called Ugly in This Ugly World, which is a little bit like more high energy, but I still don't know if it would have fixed what we were lacking here.
Yeah.
But it gives you like insight into Jamie's like thought process.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess we like end up at prom, right?
Yeah.
So we end up at prom. Pretty is dressed amazing. She's wearing like a rhinestone headband on top of her hijab. Like, it's great. The fashion choices, I hated this one girl's dress. Was wearing like
this like double straps.
I like, it was gold sequins with like, imagine like a halter neckline, but then also a spaghetti also, strap tank.
Yes. See, but this is it was bad. I agree. But like, I loved that because it felt like ugly prom dresses. You know what I mean? Where everyone in your high school is wearing a tacky prom dress they bought at the mall that like kind of fits but doesn't fit that well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of times, like comparing it to something like the prom, which obviously had a very different tone and very different production design. But in that musical, like everyone's prom dress was like custom made, like dance costume style, like over the top. And these ones, I'm like, this kid bought this
Sherry
at the department store at the mall, like with their mother or with their friends. You
like
know
Macy's.
What I mean?
Like, they were like Macy's dresses. Yeah.
Or whatever the equivalent is in the UK. Like they it felt very authentic high school prom dress. Like I loved that. I loved the production design of this movie. Even Jamie's bedroom, we were talking about this, like felt authentic to him.
What is that major department store in the UK called? Starts with a P. Primark.
Are we talking about Primark?
Yeah, that's
kind of like the Forever 21 of the UK. It did. It felt like Primark stuff. Or like, I don't know. It felt very like I went to the mall, had a big outing to the big city near my house, and bought my sequined over the top dress. Loved.
Which I feel like is why I was totally disappointed in what Jamie ended up wearing to prom, which we have not even discussed, which I'll quickly discuss right now. He, throughout the movie, as he's like singing these like dream sequence songs, there are a couple songs where he flashes back to his younger self when he's like first trying on lipstick, first putting on heels and eyeshadow, and like, we assume it's his mom's wedding dress, I believe.
I think so. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. And then his dad catches him, and only in the final flashback do we see him say, like, take it off, you're disgusting, which obviously is triggering. And then he heard it again from Dean, so it just really, like, brought him back to that time when he was a little kid and this all like sort of went down. So I think that Jamie shows up in prom in that same potential wedding dress. And Jamie, I wanted
like
more.
Something that reminds him of his youth. Yes, I agree. You know, he'd been in like these diva looks the whole movie. And then he shows up kind of in a very modest cap sleeve, like comedian dress a little bit.
Like even the uniforms with the heels is everything to me.
Yes.
The like white lace cap sleeve wedding dress is not what I wanted him to wear to prom.
So Jamie, he was gonna be go to prom as me, but then he decides to go to prom as Jamie in a dress.
Yeah.
You know, just wanting wearing what he would want to wear instead of being a character, which is very like a very sweet resolution. But yeah, I wanted the dress to be more dramatic because then even in like the finale, he's stuck in that dress. I want to think another look for him.
I know. This is also what you were just speaking on of how, like, the kids don't care. Miss Hedge, obviously, when Jamie shows up, she's, like, the only chaperone at this dance, it seems. And he's wearing the dress, and she basically says, like, I told you you couldn't come in if you were wearing a dress. Like, why are you wearing a dress? And the girls in the background are like, Miss, we don't care. Like, let him
win.
The
theme was prom fabulous. This is prom fabulous.
Like, even though it was not prom fabulous, Jamie was not. But yes, like, there's no dress code of what the boys were allowed to wear. There's no dress code of what the girls were allowed to wear. Prom fabulous is whatever your interpretation was. Mm-hmm. And I loved that moment of all of the kids, like, rallying around.
And then,
except for Dean. Except for Dean. Dean was being a dick in the side. And then after all of the, like, Jamie chants or whatever, Miss Hedge still is like, no, not coming in. And then Pretty stands up in front of, like, the entire school and is basically, like, throws it all down, tells everybody to go, like, F themselves. And, like, it's a great moment.
Fantastic. And then they all go into the prom. And then, like, the sweet moment of, you know, his mom waiting by her cell phone for an update to see what happened, you know, because she just, like, had to let her, like, baby bird fly in that moment. She couldn't protect him. She had to just see what happened. And when she gets the selfie of him with, like, everyone from school, like, inside the prom, it's, like, so sweet. It just, I don't know. I love that.
And Dean kind of, like, redeems himself. Like, him and Jamie walk in together, arm in arm, which is very nice. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, they, like, get in to do this group picture while they are singing the finale.
Out of the darkness. Ooh. Into the spotlight.
Into the
spotlight. Something I didn't realize until watching this movie is that it's a little bit of a reprise of Spotlight. I just this never occurred to me before. Because the kind of, like second mini Spotlight after the first Spotlight, he sings, like, A Place Where We Belong. I'm like, that's the finale. I got excited. And then, I just never put the connection together. This is the song that I listen to from this cast recording all the time. And it's my favorite part of the musical on stage. It's so much fun.
There's a place where we belong. There's a place where we belong. And you'll hear us sing.
Though I feel like we kind of just like got to prom, this song started, and then the next thing you know we're in credits and they're still singing, so there wasn't really like a clear big ending that I was hoping for.
I agree. I could have used with more like a bigger bang at the end for this for this show, especially, you know, on stage you have that energy because like it's human beings right in front of you, whereas in the movie you maybe have to work a little bit harder to create that. And you know, they kind of did it with, you know, Jamie and Pretty riding the limo into, like, the big street party, kind of. But I wanted
to get the drag queens briefly again.
Yes.
Richard E. Grant is wearing a great eye makeup. It's, like, always real good. And then we do get, like, a little teeny tiny bit of a costume change. Jamie is wearing, like, heels and, like, great jeans and amazing eye makeup to take out the garbage at the end. And, like, the garbage guys are waving goodbye to him.
Yes.
In, I guess, is, like, the same moment of the musical when Jamie, after the bows, he's, like, standing in the doorway to sing the final, like, in this place where I belong or we belong. And it's just a nice moment, but it was a very, like, long, slow, close black circle on Jamie's face to credits.
Yes. Can I talk about that moment in the musical? It's just, the musical is over at that point, and on stage they sing the song Place Where We Belong, and everyone comes out and does a little dance number, and every single person on that stage gets their own personal bow. And Jamie
all
is
the kids.
In, every single, like, every person in the ensemble, every single person gets a bow, like, in order of, like, least to most important. And Jamie is in a Canadian tuxedo with, like, pom-poms all over it.
It's so
and
good.
And heels and makeup, and he looks fantastic. And then he's the last one on stage, and he stands in that doorway, like you were saying, and kind of just, like, preens for the audience, poses, you know, makes the audience, like, cheer. He has them in the palm of your hands at that moment. And then he, like, quiets everyone down, and he just sings, like, the final line of the song. And it's just, like, it lets you go out on such a high. You're feeling so happy after that moment.
Mm-hmm. And I think after, again, like, watching that final scene, the stage bows last night, you again, like, see that charisma from John McCrae and, like, the bit of sassiness that I feel like we were a little bit missing from this movie. I will say, though, almost every single student in this movie is, like, it's their first thing. Like, this is their basically first movie.
There were moments where I was watching Max Harwood in this movie, and I was like, this is his first real thing he's ever done. And I thought it really worked for this character. Like, you could tell his inexperience, and it worked in favor of the character of Jamie, because Jamie is inexperienced. And also just the deadpan delivery of a lot of lines was part of him, you know, not overacting, not doing too much. And I thought, like, the fact that it was most of these kids' first movies, first jobs, first professional gig was to the benefit of the movie.
Yeah, I definitely 100%. Agree, because the movie is kind of like a confidence builder for Jamie, and I feel like Max was on that same journey. When he became me, you saw that, like, all over his face. That confidence was, like, at the highest it's ever been, and compared to, like, the timidness of some other scenes. So yeah, totally. I think, like, they're going with an unknown, and going with, like, many unknowns is the correct route for this movie. I just, again, as I was saying, I just don't know, like, exactly who is going to turn this on and watch it. If you're not a fan of the musical, if you don't know the title by, like, living in the UK, it's not going into theaters. So I just don't know the scale of how many people will actually see it.
It's true. I don't know if it's necessarily been marketed that well.
Agree.
You know, I feel like they needed to go much harder for it.
Unlike Dear Evan Hansen, which, like, we thought this movie was out already by all of the Instagram ads that we have seen.
I just confused because we already saw it. So I'm like, I assume everyone's seen it. But at time of record, not as much. let's talk about this. I actually haven't found that they're going that hard. Like, he's going on talk shows and performing songs, but I do kind of feel...
You are obviously not getting the Instagram ads that I am getting on
maybe
a daily
not.
Basis.
I feel like they kind of, like, were quiet, and, like, just ramped up the promo now.
You
like,
know
they were
why?
Trying to, like, make you forget about it a little bit.
Because the reviews are bad.
Because it's really bad. Because it's bad. That's a little sneak peek for next week's episode.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I definitely agree. And I don't know if this is, again, like, I follow Dear Evan Hansen on Instagram. I do not follow Everybody's Talking About Jamie.
Right.
I have seen, like, whispers here and there on Twitter. You know, we've seen, like, a couple of our faves on TikTok, like, talk about Everybody's Talking About Jamie, and again, how this was, like, one of the movies that they were excited for. But yeah, I feel like Amazon should maybe be promoting this. You said it's, like, was on your homepage last night when it came out, and it's on the homepage right now. So that's good news. And I do think, like, the coloring of the posters and everything is stunning, eye-catching. So maybe, hopefully, you'll just, like, click it based off of what it looks like.
Yeah, I hope it gets good clickability. I think it's super fun. I think most people who watch it will enjoy it. Like, once you've clicked on it, I don't think you're clicking away.
Yeah. Are we ready to rank?
Oh, yeah, we're gonna rate it out of 5? Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I am going to rate it 4 out of 5 janky eyebrows.
Wow. That's high.
Yeah, 4 out of 5. It was good. 80%. It's good.
That's good. I am going to rate it 3.5 out of 5.
Wow.
Red sparkly heels.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I would recommend it, honestly. I think it's a very good movie. And I also think if you happen to like listen to us or see a review or something and you were like in high school and university, like watch this. I feel like it's a very youthful film for like kids that might be going through the same thing or have a friend that's going through the same thing. Like, it's a good movie for all ages. And I don't think I can say that about like all movie musicals.
No, no, absolutely not. And also a great cast recording. I haven't listened to the movie soundtrack yet and I'll get to that. But the original cast recording, just like an easy breezy hour, you know, really fun.
And also, if you happen to be listening to us from the UK, Jamie is closing on September 26th for like a brief moment in time before it, I think it like might get a different theater. But like, go and see it, or go see it on tour, or go to LA and see it whenever it opens in LA. Like, it is making its way across the United States, I feel, in 2022. So if it does stop in a city near you, like, go check it out and see it on stage, because the best way is always on stage.
For sure. I think that's interesting. Do you think it's something that will translate well to American, North American audiences on stage?
I mean, I was 100% wrong about Come From Away, so I don't know. I'm sorry to like compare this to Kinky Boots, but Kinky Boots is also kind of a London storyline, and that like really hit on Broadway. I don't know that Jamie will hit on Broadway, but I do think it could have tour success because it's a feel-good story at the end of the day.
Sure. Smaller markets, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that wraps up our thoughts and feelings on Everybody's Talking About Jamie, the movie. And with that being said, it's now time for our obsession of the week.
So my obsession of the week is an album that just came out. It's called Covers From Away. It is various Newfoundland and Labrador artists singing the songs from Come From Away.
Wow, this CanCon.
Like, CanCon, yes, let's go. It's honestly just a really sweet album, just different reinterpretations of these beautiful songs from this wonderful musical that you have the opportunity to watch on Apple TV right now. So the song I'm going to suggest for you is I Am Here by Rosemary Lawton. It's just like a really pretty rendition of the song from the stage musical, and I would recommend the whole album and specifically the song I Am Here.
You are here at the start of a moment on the edge of the world where the river meets the sea.
Say that specific song in the pro shot is what will get every single person watching. It is so sad.
The refrain that like throughout the whole musical, what's like, you are here
and the start
at the start
of
a moment
and the edge
on the edge. Yeah, that's living in immediate the... tears. Immediate tears.
Yeah, I love that. Like that. I love that whole theme. It's a great theme. I love it so much. I haven't even heard of this. Like, I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yes,
that's exciting. I love it. My obsession this week is like kind of a repeat obsession, but it's different because now there is an actual concept album. And yes, I am talking about the unofficial Bridgerton musical. The full concept album has just dropped with Abigail Barlow and Emily Bear. And this album is really, really good. I am like shocked at the talent of, like, Abigail Barlow is a singer and like she does pop music and was like trying to make it on her own before like obviously the TikTok fame of the Bridgerton musical. Emily Bear is 20 years old, and the composing that this girl can do in such a like grand and like amazing orchestra. Like, I am obsessed with the orchestrations on this cast recording. It is so good.
Can I interrupt? Do you remember watching Emily Bear as like a 6-year-old on Ellen?
Was she the piano kid?
Yes, the piano kid on Ellen, like the prodigy who would write these songs as like a 6-year-old and go and play them on Ellen.
If
you look at her face, you'll see it.
I didn't know that it was her, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
She would wear these like little dresses and she'd just be like, this is my song called Joy. as like a six-year-old.
So then like we knew that she was going to be a star.
A true like prodigy, a prodigy.
Oh my God. Well, she's amazing. And recently they performed at LC Fest with Darren Criss and Josh Henry and Betsy Wolf, which is like so amazing that all of these people just like joined in to perform on this like random concept album. And I believe like last week, I don't know when it's airing, but they just performed at like the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy Center, which is a huge honor. Yeah. With Darren Criss. So that's super fun. I just think that like to have a full concept album of Bridgerton, which was obviously like such a huge hit on Netflix, and Abigail Barlow like plays every single part on this cast recording and like puts on Fantastic. Different accents, which is amazing. Again, as I said, the orchestration's like out of this world, incredible. And I was watching a couple TikToks and someone like put the album to the scenes of the show, and it
I've heard that they wrote it so that it would match perfectly.
Yes, like it's so smart. Genius. I also think like this will literally never happen because there are so many legalities and rights. Yeah. And whatever, but like Bridgerton would work as a musical. Like there is something about the time period, the royals in general, the costumes, the grand orchestra. I want to see it.
Well, even just the way the series, you know, I love the series, you know, I watched it many
yes,
times.
Obsessed.
I love it, but it's set to music already. It's already the styling of it, the movement of it, that music is so important to it, to the storytelling of it. And so I think it's just like, it's a very small step to turn into a musical. It's not like a huge giant leap.
And
so
also,
I love it.
Like the, what's it, like the Renaissance pop music that plays throughout Bridgerton.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like they amazing. Already have been musicalizing, using music to tell the story in Bridgerton. So it's not a huge leap for the it's yeah. become a musical.
Anyway.
I can't wait to see what they do in season two. I can't wait for the
I know.
like Vitamin String Quartet version of Good For You to play or something. Okay?
Literally the other day, I don't even know what we were talking about, but you were like, is Bridgerton season two gonna come out for Christmas? Because like I don't know what to do if it doesn't.
It better. I need it in my life.
Yeah.
Okay, this is like another no one cares, but on September 25th, we're getting like a first look at Bridgerton season two on like a Netflix thing. I don't know. And I'm counting down the days.
Anyway, I think that this entire album, like go listen to it start to finish. It's actually like amazing. But the song that I am choosing is Ocean Away, which I heard for the very first time like months and months ago when obviously our boy Antonio duetted Abigail on TikTok. He was Simon, she was Daphne, obviously. The song is like stunning.
I can't even drink champagne. No, without hearing your name. Am I the one to blame? When we're dancing in the same room, trolling ocean away.
They're talking about like being at a party but like not standing together. This is kind of like after the big scandal.
Oh, the very last party where, you know, she's kind of betrayed him.
Yes.
And they're deciding that they're not going to live as a married couple. They're going to live separately and go live their separate lives. But they're obviously both like very much in love with each other, and so they have to like decide to be together, and Daphne has to like ask to be forgiven and
yes.
say like, I love you, I want like to share my life with you.
So the storyline of the song is like that moment when they're like, we cannot live together, they are an ocean away, as
wow.
the song title. It's stunning. Like I love the song so much. It also is like the final song of the cast recording. Anyway, it is available streaming everywhere. If you watch like Abigail Barlow's TikToks, it's getting like upwards of 4 million streams a day, the whole album. So like they're killing it, and I can't wait to see what she does next. Like if we had like the success that we had from the Ratatouzical and like this, like let's musicalize everything that's streaming right now, because I'm ready.
Well, I think what's exciting about this is that this was a way for Abigail Barlow and Emily Bear to like capture people's attention.
Yeah.
And the Bridgerton musical is never going to be produced. I don't think so. It won't. But now we know what they can do. We know what kind of writing they can do. And now it's like people would be so smart to contract them to write musicals, to say, hey, we're working on this adaptation, can you work on this with us? Hey, we're writing this cartoon animated movie, can you write the music for that? They've like shown their work, and now their portfolio is huge, and they can be working on things that will like get grow bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's also, like, super exciting for them.
Like, the songs have no right to be as good as they are. Like, they should not be this good. It's, like, insane. I mean, obviously, like, I Burn For You was the first, like, huge hit and has, like, transcended since its first TikTok video. Mm-hmm. But, like, again, just, like, TikTok really bringing everything that we need in life. I feel it's just there.
Can I say something? Okay, you know on Bridgerton TV show, this is my extreme fandom right now. The Bridgerton TV show, Simon says to Daphne, I burn for you. Or like, he says, my heart burns for someone else. And then Daphne says, I burn for you. That doesn't happen in the book. You know who says, I burn for you? Antony.
Wow.
To his eventual wife. They stole his line. They stole that man's line.
Wow. Let's get Jonathan Bailey to sing on this.
Yes.
Like, we need that. But I do think that something that could, this is literally us just like fangirling about like Bridgerton as a whole right now. But I do think it could be possible that they could have actual theater people on another concept album. I think that's something that could happen because the theater community has obviously like shown interest. And like, as I had said on a previous episode, if we're casting Simon, it's Austin Scott for me. But hearing Josh Henry sing as Simon, that is who I want. Anyway, yeah, definitely recommend that Bridgerton album. Like, go listen to it. Also, go watch Bridgerton if you haven't, and like, let us know who should play Daphne and Simon in the musical version, because like, I want to know. And yeah, that wraps up our episode on Everybody's Talking About Jamie. If you have seen this movie, if you have not seen this movie, if you're going to see this movie, we want to hear from you, and you can do that by following us on Instagram and Twitter at @OffToBeRightPodcast. That's with the number 2.
And you can listen to us and subscribe anywhere podcasts are found, including Apple Podcasts, where we'd love it if you would leave us a rating and a review.
And you can also subscribe to us here on YouTube. And if you are looking to start your own podcast and don't know where to host, you can get a month free by going to www.podbean.com/OffToBeWayPodcast, again, with the number 2. And yeah, we will see you guys next time for our episode on Dear Evan Hansen. We'll see you later.
Bye.
In this place where we